Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the CAE first quarter conference call. Please be advised that the call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Andrew Arnovitz. You may now proceed, Mr. Arnovitz.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Before we begin, I need to read the following. Certain statements made during this conference, including but not limited to statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking and are subject to important risks, uncertainties, and assumptions. These include statements about our activities, events, and developments that we expect to or anticipate may occur in the future, including, for example, statements about our vision, strategies, market trends and outlook, future revenues, capital spending, expansions and new initiatives, financial obligations, and expected sales. By their nature, forward-looking statements require us to make assumptions and are subject to inherent risks and uncertainties associated with our business, which may cause actual results in future periods to differ materially from results indicated in forward-looking statements. While these statements are based on management's expectations and assumptions regarding historical trends, current conditions, and expected future developments, as well as other factors that we believe are reasonable and appropriate in the circumstances, listeners are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, as there is a risk they may not be accurate. Except as required by law, we disclaim any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. The forward-looking information and statements contained in this presentation are expressly qualified by this cautionary statement. You will find more information about the risks and uncertainties associated with our business in the first quarter, fiscal 2015, MD&A, and in annual information form for the year ended March 31, 2014. These documents have been filed with the Canadian Securities Commissions and are available on our website at cae.com and on sedar.com. They've also been filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission under Form 40F and are available on EDGAR. Forward-looking statements in this conference represent our expectations as of today, August the 13th, 2014, and accordingly are subject to change after this date. On the call with me this afternoon are Marc Parent, CAE's President and Chief Executive Officer, and Stéphane Lefebvre, our Chief Financial Officer. After comments from Marc and Stéphane, we will take questions from financial analysts and institutional investors. Let me now turn the call over to Marc.
Thank you, Andrew. Good afternoon to everyone joining us on the call. We presented our first quarter results this morning at our annual general meeting, so I'll use the opportunity of this afternoon's call to recap some of the highlights of the quarter. Stéphane will provide a detailed look at our financial results, and then I'll come back at the end of the call to discuss our outlook for the year. Operating income for the quarter was up 16% over last year on the back of a strong performance in civil. We continued to fill capacity in our training centers and to ramp up new and redeployed simulators. Civil operating income alone increased by nearly a third over last year. In defense, we had stable revenue in the quarter and 7% lower operating income. The defense business is normally lumpy, owing to the mix of programs that progress in a given quarter. And in terms of fueling more volume in defense, a key enabler of higher margins, the story was much the same as it's been. The budgetary environment is more stable, and we continue to win our fair share. However, program awards continue to come at a slow pace. In UCOR markets, we concluded a strategic review, which served to reaffirm our conviction in healthcare and led us to a decision to divest mining. The outcome is that we're now focusing our capital and resources on our three remaining core businesses, namely civil aviation and training, defense and security, and healthcare. Looking more specifically at developments for each of these businesses in the quarter, starting with civil, we obtained solutions contracts totaling $365 million, including 11 full-flight simulators for airline customers around the world. We also signed some significant deals for pilot training services for Air Canada, Air Nostrum, Scandinavian Airlines, and British Midland Regional, as well as training center operation services for Caverton Helicopters. The civil booked sales ratio for the quarter was 1.18 times, and 1.32 times for the last 12 months, which supports a healthy growth rate going forward. The civil backlog reached $2.4 billion in the quarter. In defense, we booked simulator orders, upgrades, and services contracts with customers including NATO for upgrades to its AWACS aircraft simulators, Beechcraft for training support and maintenance services involving the T-6C aircraft for the Royal New Zealand Air Force, and an undisclosed international customer for a KC-135 refueling boom trainer. We had success this quarter beyond aviation in the naval domain with a contract to provide the Swedish Navy with a comprehensive naval warfare training system. In total, we received $149 million in defense orders this quarter, representing a book-to-sales ratio of 0.75 times. The ratio for the last 12 months was 0.92 times. In addition to those orders, we received another $93 million in unfunded orders. In all, our defense backlog reached $2.5 billion in the quarter, which includes joint ventures and the unfunded backlog. Looking now at healthcare, we concentrated on enhancing our position for a larger business with new product introductions and new sales channels. We continue to expand our international reach with new distributor agreements in France, South Korea, and India. And in terms of product for portfolio expansion, we introduced CA Replay, an audio-visual solution for debrief used to capture both medical simulation scenarios and live clinical events. We also began production of our first Fidelis maternal fetal simulators. During the quarter, we received notable orders in the United States, the UK, China, and Korea from universities, hospitals, and medical device companies for our audiovisual solutions, patient simulators, and surgical simulators. With that, I'll now turn it over to Stéphane.
Thank you, Mark, and good afternoon, everyone. Consolidated revenue for the quarter was $526.2 million, net income from continuing operations attributable to equity holders was $43.8 million, or 17 cents per share. The operational improvement we achieved compared to last year is evident in our operating profit, which was $71.7 million, up 16% from $61.6 million last year. The divergence between operating profit and net income arises from the low income tax rate in the first quarter last year, when in fact taxes were nil, because of a one-time tax benefit. This quarter, taxes were $11.6 million, representing an effective tax rate of 21%. The takeaway is that our underlying operational performance was much stronger this quarter compared to last year. Free cash flow from continuing operations was negative $20.9 million for the first quarter. The decrease from last quarter and the first quarter of fiscal 2014 was mainly due to higher working capital involving an increase in contracts and progress assets and inventories. Our free cash flow is generally higher in the second half of the fiscal year, and we expect that to be the case again this year. Capital expenditures totaled $39.7 million this quarter, with $26.4 million for growth and $13.3 million for maintenance. Net debt was $901.6 million as of June 30, 2014, compared to $856.2 million as of March 31, 2014. Notwithstanding the typically higher consumption of cash in the first quarter, our net debt to capital ratio remained well within our target range at 37.9%. Now looking at our segmented financial performance. For civil, first quarter revenue was $308.9 million, stable year over year. Operating income for the quarter was up 32% year over year to $49.5 million, owing mainly to our ongoing operational improvements, as well as higher volume and utilization. These factors gave us an operating margin of 16%, up from 12.5% last year. Training utilization was 72% in the quarter, which is only 3 percentage points higher than the same quarter last year, but underscores the kind of operational leverage that we get in training. In defense, first quarter revenue was flat year over year at $197.9 million, and operating income was down 7% at $21.9 million for a margin of 11.1%. As Mark has said, program mix and volume largely explain the variances in margin from quarter to quarter. A 12-month span generally provides a better picture of performance, especially when dealing with such long-cycle programs. Looking at healthcare, revenue was $19.4 million for the quarter, and operating income was $300,000. This is essentially flat with last year. We began production of some of our new products a bit later than planned, which mainly explains the delayed growth in the quarter. As well, we had some one-time costs that weighed on the margin. Finally, mining will continue to operate as usual and be reported as a discontinued operation until it's sold. The business recorded an operating loss in the quarter, but most of this was triggered by the divestiture process itself. With that, I'll turn the call back over to Mark.
Thanks, Stefan. Our first quarter results underscore that the current major growth driver for CAE's earnings is civil. We have the benefit of a record backlog and significant operational leverage remaining that will see us post higher margins in civil than last year. Underpinning our operational performance are continued strong market fundamentals. Global passenger traffic grew at nearly 6% in the first half of 2014. With emerging markets growing even more. Demand for pilot training in the United States is being led by the refleeting of regional and mainline carriers and also by stricter regulations. Demand in Europe is resuming on the back of the early stages of an economic recovery. And in the Middle East, the continued high rate of growth is being driven by major long-haul operators as well as low-cost carriers. In Asia, Chinese domestic travel and a robust low-cost carrier segment are driving steady traffic growth. Aircraft manufacturers have 8-year backlogs and are delivering planes at record rates. Boeing and Airbus combined are currently delivering nearly 80 narrow-body aircraft per month, which is up over 20% from just 5 years ago. Taken together, there's never been a better time for commercial aviation, and we're in a good position to reap the benefits of the investments we've made in recent years. We're off to a good start in orders with significant training contracts and 11 full flight sales announced in Q1. We see potential for about 40 full flight simulators this year while maintaining our leading market share. Overall, we expect civil performance for the year to follow the usual seasonal patterns, whereby the second half is strongest. The summer months are quieter because of the annual shutdown of our main manufacturing facility, and also because our customers are mostly in the air flying passengers and not on the ground training. For the year, we expect to see strong double-digit growth in civil, and as I've said, with even higher margins. Now, looking at defense, the short-term story is pretty much the same as it's been. As we saw in fiscal 14, the business proved to be resilient through some challenging market conditions, and we continue to expect it to be resilient for the year overall in fiscal 2015. Our confidence in both short-term resiliency and the longer-term growth potential of our defense business comes from a number of CAE strengths. We have a solid backlog involving enduring platforms, and we have a strong bid pipeline from which we expect to win our fair share. We also have broad geographic reach involving growing markets like the Middle East and Asia. And lastly, and most fundamentally, our confidence stems from the value proposition of simulation-based training and our leading position within this enduring segment. In healthcare, we remain excited about our long-term prospects, and we're encouraged by what we see as a sizable opportunity for CAE to lead in what we expect to become a much larger market. The demands placed on the healthcare industry by an aging population, limited access to live patients for training, and the rising use of revolutionary medical technology are all driving the need for simulation-based medical training. We got off to a slower start than planned in healthcare in the first quarter, but we expect to resume double-digit growth and to see margins notch up with the higher volume. We've learned a lot about the business in the last 3 years, and we have the right mix of subject expertise, innovation, and leadership to see this through to the next level in an expanding market. As for our decision to divest mining, it was a product of a strategic review and a strict adherence to our investment discipline. We like the business, and it meets several of the criteria we originally established for diversification, but it no longer fits with our core. We've remained true to our capital allocation priorities by selectively investing in market-led growth opportunities, maintaining a strong financial position, and growing current returns for shareholders. As you'll have seen this morning, we increased the quarterly dividend by 1 cent per share for the fourth year in a row. This underscores our confidence in our end markets and our ability to lead and grow within them. To conclude, we continue to expect solid growth for CAE overall this fiscal year, with strong performance in civil, continued resilience in defense, and the resumption of double-digit growth in healthcare. Thank you for your attention, and we're now ready to take your questions. Andrew?
Operator, now we please take questions from analysts and institutional investors. Before you do open the lines, let me first ask, in the interest of fairness, that you please limit yourself to a single one-part question, and if you have additional questions after that, and time permits, please feel free to re-enter the queue.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. To register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You'll hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. Once again, to register for a question, it is 1-4 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Benoit Poirier from Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just in terms of rationale behind the divestiture of mining, I was just wondering if you could provide more color. And I was wondering if it means that all the other business units are core, or does it mean that outside that civil defense and healthcare, you won't have any interest to look at the other segments?
Well, I think, thanks for the question. No, I think we're just maybe to the latter end of your question. As we said, you know, we're focused, and that's, you know, we've said following the investments and the acquisitions we've made in the last couple of years, I mean, we're very focused on, you know, what we define the core as the core, and as you've said, and as of you relayed in the call, those are the business we are, civil, military, and healthcare. Now, within those segments, you could have categories that we look. I mean, I think what the order of the day would be that we are in to, improve the return on assets of all of our business. So if we have some dragging assets that wouldn't be separately billed as businesses that we report out, we'd have a look at it, but I don't think it's anything overly material here. And going back to, so we're focused on the business we're at, civil, military, and healthcare. Now, when I look at the rationale for mining, I think it really follows the discipline that we espoused when we first got into this, into new core markets. We said, look, we are investing because we believe these businesses, mining has a characteristics that are similar to the ones that drive the rest of our business, and we believe that we can leverage our core capabilities of simulation modeling in those sectors. In the case of mining, we got into it, into the business, through an acquisition of Datamine at the time, which is mainly a software business. We've grown that software business through our expertise, but really it was for us to be able to use that as a platform to be able to, you know, really leverage that into sales of simulation equipment. Now, we have had some success in there, but when I look at, you know, considering the environment that we're in the commodities market, and you know how long it's going to take us to reach, you know, the revenue and profit goals that we have for that business, it's going to take longer than our horizon, that the horizon we give ourselves. So basically, we decide to focus our capital and our efforts on those three main businesses. It's not because we don't like the business, but that's why we're treating it as a discontinued business and putting it for sale at this moment.
Okay, thanks very much for the caller, Mark. I'll get back in the queue.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Steve Arthur with RBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Great, thank you very much. Just following up a little bit more on the civil margins, we did see a sequential decline from Q4, about 17% ex items to 16% this quarter. Is that strictly a function of the revenue decline, or are there some other changes going on in there? And I guess as you look out, any way to quantify margin expectations for the business over the next while? In the past, we've talked about high teens.
Yeah, Steve, this is Stefan. I think you're pointing at the right thing. The top line went from 323 million in Q4 down to 308. And so we've got a little bit less volume in Q1, and that's what explained the drop in margin from 17.9 to 16%. It's something that we've seen very often in the past. Summer months, a lot of our customers are not training; they're out flying, and it includes June, July, and August. So very often we see utilization rate go down during these 3 months, and there's a portion of that falls into Q1. So that's the main reason for it.
Okay. And expectations looking ahead, is it high teens still a rational place to be?
Well, I think what we said, I think we continue to say, Steve, on the margins in civil, they're going to be higher on average than last year, and they're going to be, we expect to see higher peak margins than last year. So I think last year I think our average of margin is, I think, about 15.3, and we expect to be higher than that, and I think our peak margins was 17.3, we expect to be higher than that.
17.9,
I'm sorry. And that's mainly fueled by, you know, volume expansion, increased utilization of training centers, the factors we talked about, underscored by the market that we see out there that I talked about on the call.
And less assets being moved around.
Yeah, absolutely. Less moving assets on our side and betting now on the ones that we have.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Cameron Dirksen from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hi, Kevin.
I guess question on capital deployment. I mean, it's nice to see the dividend increased here, but your leverage is kind of where you want it to be or a little bit lower. It doesn't look like you have any major acquisitions lined up, and I would expect that your cash flow performance should be quite a bit better this year versus where you were last year, given the improvement in civil. So I'm just wondering what your thought process is on, you know, additional cash returns to shareholders, specifically, you know, further dividend increases or something beyond what we've already seen, and potentially share buybacks, because I think that's certainly something that looks like you could afford.
Well, I think as you pointed out, we're continuing to be true to our capital allocation priorities, which, you know, continue to grow to keep pace with the market and our customers. And with the difference from previous year, maybe be that we're very focused on, you know, any investments that are, you know, very accretive to our goals of higher return on capital. But the deleveraging you talked about, we kind of like where we are. Coming back, you know, as you saw in the quarter with the fourth dividend increase in so many years, I mean, we're confident in the business and in the cash flows that will generate. So that's why we're confident in the increase that we've made. And look, we don't have a specific policy, but you can see by our actions that we clearly set a trend here. Now, with regards to share buyback, I mean, that's something that's a regular dialogue with the board. It's not something that we've done yet, but it's not to say that we won't. It's just something that we just, you know, we keep discussing, and depending on this, you know, circumstances we see over the year. But that's what, I mean, we'll be focused on those things, and we're not focused on, you know, major acquisitions or anything like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. Our next question comes from the line of David Newman with Canaccord. I'm sorry, David Newman with Cormac Security. Please go ahead.
One of those places, anyways. Just a quick question on the military side, Mark. I mean, I know you, you've strategically sort of taken a different tack towards it, looking at the larger programs, et cetera. What's the bid pipeline look like at this juncture? And with that in hand, you know, what do you anticipate in terms of military margin for this year or going forward in a steady state kind of basis?
Well, I think the pipeline is big, and it's actually grown. You know, we've increased, and I have to get the number out here, but it's grown, I know that, and we think we bid, again, a pretty substantial number of pipelines that support growth, bid a pipeline in the first quarter supportive of growth, that's for darn sure. Going then, what does that mean for margins? I think when I look at this quarter, I think we have 0.75 book-to-bill, but I think you got to look at a little bit deeper on that. And when we talk about unfunded orders, you know, you had an extra 93 there. And I think it's important that, you know, I think we're pretty conservative when we don't include that in the book-to-bill. It is included in the backlog, but not in the book-to-bill. But when we look at that, what we call unfunded backlog, I mean, these are orders that are going to happen. It's just that they're typically orders that come in the U.S., and because the U.S. Only votes its budget, you know, every year, it approves its budget every year. So let's say a multi-year order, like, for example, the contract we have to do training for the Predator aircraft, which is a seven-year contract, or a contract like we do for KC-135 refueling tanker, we will only include in the book-to-bill the orders of this year. But clearly, when you look at that $93 billion, it means that there's some orders coming up for many periods. So that gives me the confidence, plus our backlog and other factors I mentioned for continued growth. But in terms of margins, look, coming back, long story to come back to your question on margins, I remain to what I am and what I said all last year, is that we'll be resilient. You look at the income number that we had last year, I'm pretty confident based on what I see. And we do have to win orders. We always have to win orders. But I feel pretty confident that based on backlog, pipeline, that we'll be able to be resilient. And again, I'll define really resilient as maybe slightly up, maybe slightly down. I mean, last year we were slightly up, but not major variations from that.
Okay, so I guess if you look at Q1, you had 11%. Would you typify that as being resilient, or do you think it's kind of in the 13, 14, 15% range? Like, where would you be happy to end the year? Not that I'm trying to pin you down, but just to, obviously for modeling purposes, we need to sort of get a sense of what your view is on just on the what is a resilient margin.
Oh, it takes a lot more to make me happy. But no, 11.1%. I would think that's on the lower end. It will move around. Because you know we've said it. We talked about it last call. We've talked about it many times. We're executing. You talked at the beginning of your question about some large orders, and it's true. We have large orders in our backlog. Well, sometimes these large orders, as they go through our revenue in the quarter, I mean, some of those are at lower margin than others. So that's when we talk about mix of programs. Is somebody's, if one of these programs is going through in the quarter, then it'll drag down just proportionally the margins. And that's some of what you see there in the quarter.
Okay, and Andrew's going to hate me, but I'm going to try to squeeze one more in. Yeah, Stefan, what's your CapEx for the year, you think, for this year?
I think it will be very similar to what we had last year. This has been a number of years now where, you know, we're not short of opportunities. The market is good, but I think we're selective in where we invest our money. So what I see is a very similar level of CapEx as the one we had in fiscal 14.
And David, just finishing the question on military, there, just to be complete there, so, you know, coming for 11, what if we're going to be if we're going to achieve what I said about being resilient on the absolute level of income for military for the year, it means that we, you know, we expect a pickup in the second half.
Oh, very good. Thanks, Mark.
I don't expect that we'll pick up much in the which obviously by definition the second quarter, mainly because the same factor that affects our civil business, you know, mainly plant shutdowns, affect both the civil and the military. More civil than military, but nevertheless it does affect the military.
So back end loaded like a typical year.
Like last year and like the year before and the year before that, yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Taran Quetatalia with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I guess my question is also on the military side. Just looking at, you know, you've talked quite a bit about resilience, Mark, and you've definitely shown that at least over the last year or so in terms of revenue. I guess my question is, isn't there more on the cost side that you could do? If I look at your margins from 13 to 14, I mean, they're up, but just only slightly. And I guess from what you're saying here for 15 as well, it doesn't look like the margin's going to go up a whole lot. I'm just trying to understand, like, on the cost side, is there stuff you can do there? And I guess, I mean, you had a European restructuring there as well a few years ago. So if you just maybe clarify that for me. Thank you.
Well, I never say never. I'm a strong believer. There's always a better way, and clearly, you know, if we, as we demonstrated before, if we feel that we need to take action to reduce costs, we will.
But at this point in time, you're not thinking that the margin's going to go up a whole lot from the cost side. I mean, because it doesn't look like the revenue environment's changing a whole lot, right?
Okay, you know, with a given level of revenue, look, I think that the outlook that I've given with regards to margins include whatever cost action we would take. Where I think, you know, I would be in line with what you're saying is if we can't, you know, we have to win orders. Look, we have to win orders, notwithstanding the backlog that we have. We have to win orders every quarter. There's no doubt about that. So if for some reason the environment remains protracted and the orders just not come in, well, we're not going to clearly sit here without doing anything. We'll take action. But I don't see anything at the moment where I'm sitting here talking to you. I don't see that right now. Doesn't mean I won't see it in 3 months or 6 months, but, you know, I think that likelihood right now is, based on everything I see, we'll be able to meet the outlook that I talked about because we expect that order intake to come.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from a line of Ben Chernofsky with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Can you just maybe elaborate a little more on the thought pattern of divesting of mining, you know, particularly at this point in time, and you know, how you separated that decision from staying in the healthcare business? Why out of one but not the other?
I think, I don't know if you missed it, Ben, in the early part of the call, we had a question where you talked about the rationale. Did you want me to expand from there? I don't know if you want to call.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I missed the first 5 minutes. That might have been the first question.
Okay. Oh, that was the first question. But look, bottom line was that, and you know, we set a horizon for ourselves when we got into this business of a discipline that if we didn't think we were able to ramp up, you know, our business and simulation modeling within a certain horizon that becomes material to CAE, and our outlook, you know, continues to demonstrate that, we're going to take action, and we're that's what we did. And I guess it's exacerbated a little bit, obviously, because of, you know, what's happened, which, you know, hard to predict about what's happened to the commodities market in the last period of time. But the real difference in with healthcare. First of all, healthcare, we're quite happy that this is a market that's big enough for us to make a dent, and it's an expanding market, number one. And number two is it has the synergy that we've been able, we saw is materializing in healthcare, and really what I'm talking about is our ability to leverage simulation and modeling. when we got into mining, really we got in there through an acquisition of Datamine, and that was mainly a software business. And it was a we've grown the software business, but it really it was a platform for us to leverage and the simulation modeling simulators for the mining market. We've had some success, but when I look at in the current environment, how long it's going to be able to take, and how much, you know, investment it would take for us to be able to really achieve our goals, and it's beyond our horizon. Now, that is not the case in healthcare, and that's the difference.
Okay, thanks. I apologize for
No worries.
Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of David Tyerman with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My question's on the civil growth side. So first, I just want to confirm, Mark, did you say you expected strong double-digit growth in sales in civil?
Yeah, I think I should clarify that because we're mixing, I mixed a couple of things there. You know, I think that really when I say strong, I think what I'm really talking about is income. But if you look at, to be clear on reconciling margins and revenue, I think I would say low double digit revenue growth in civil with higher margins than we had last year.
Okay, that's helpful. And just to ask to the sales side of it, then what's driving that? Is it all coming on the training side? Because I notice your FFS orders guidance is actually lower than what you did last year. So it sounds like the equipment business is plateauing or maybe even turning down a little bit. So is it all coming from the training side?
Well, no, there's a lot coming from the training side. And the if you, on the order intake on the 40 sims, I think that is a high year, I mean, in our market.
Sure,
I think if I remember last year when we went into the year, I think we were guiding for about that as well. And what happened is there was actually two major orders and one, you know, quasi-major orders last year that we won, and Qatar, Etihad, and if you take those, and those were multi-year. So not only did they yield in a big order intake in terms of number last year, but clearly they're not orders that you're going to get this year and maybe next year because they're multi-year orders. So really, so look, if the market supports more at our win rate, we'll get them. But at the moment, based on what we see, and usually when we're within the 12-month horizon, you know, we're close to our customers, so we're pretty clear about their purchase intentions on simulators, so we tend to be more precise. And you know, if they decide to go in for larger orders, then we'll go after that. But I think 40 is a good year. But it also means that we expect some pretty good order intake on the training side. And but the growth in revenue, most of it comes from a ramp up of the activity we see, both from training, more utilization in the training centers, dictated by the market fundamentals, which I talked about on the call. And also from the higher volume going through our plants from the orders that we've won last year or the year before. That's what we see.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. And our last question is a follow-up question. It comes from the line of Benoit Fourier with Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just looking at healthcare, was quite impressed with your childbirth simulation this morning. Was just launched a few weeks ago, and it seems it has received a very strong market acceptance, I think with over 60 units pre-sold. So could you comment a little bit about the overall market for the childbirth simulation, and also when should we expect those units to be delivered?
Look, I can't, I don't know offhand specifically with regard to childbirth simulator. I mean, some of it is we're breaking new ground here, in terms of the fidelity of the product. You saw and I appreciate you saw it and you like it. Look, I think we've sold over 60 sight unseen, you know, all over the phone. So I'm very encouraged by that. And so I think we'll have a very big market acceptance of that. And those units will deliver, they can deliver pretty fast. you know, the time from us getting an order to us being able to deliver is relatively short, within a couple of quarters.
Okay. We're actually, Benoit, this is Stéphane. We're actually, we've delivered a few in Q1, but we're delivering as we speak in this second quarter, so it doesn't have a huge long lead time to bring a product to market.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
The other thing I like about that simulator, Benoit, is that what you don't see actually is the underlying technology, some circuit boards, things like that, are exactly the same circuit boards that we use in our new 7000 XR simulators, which is, so, you know, you're seeing it, well, you're not seeing it, but it translates into leveraging of technology, which has cost implications itself and margin expectations. So I think I like that as well.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Operator, are there any more questions?
We do have two follow-up questions. The next question is a follow-up from David Tyerman from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yes. I was just wondering if you could comment on the win that Textron highlighted in their call on the 737 MAX. That sounds like a pretty important program. And I guess I wonder, are they making some headway with the assets they bought against you?
Well, I think that it's a good win for them. I never like to lose orders, so they won that. It's a good, like I said, it's a good win for them. And you know, I can't comment on why Boeing selected them. Boeing is our competitor in training. You know, having said that, look, one of our most successful programs that we have is the 787, where we weren't selected by Boeing either on the development program. So really for us, it's going to be, I mean, Boeing as a manufacturer, you know, orders a simulator for their own use. And but I think really our attention is really now on the customers of the 737 MAX. And clearly we intend to be very competitive there. And, you know, it's one full flight, right?
Right, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. The next one is from Cameron Dirksen with National Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just to follow up on the sale of mining, I'm just wondering if you have any expected timeline of when that might occur, whether you have any prospective buyers, and should we expect there to be an accounting or a book loss on the divestiture?
I think that I can't really comment on the horizon because it's, you know, we're continuing out there to operate this business. We think it's a good business, a profitable business. I mean, it's been low in the quarter, but a lot of that has to do with, you know, everything that we did to be able to. That's part of the divestiture process, which kind of drags earnings. But the business by itself is a profitable business. I think it's going to. It has value. There's no doubt in my mind. So we're not going to have a fire sale here. And by that basis, we don't expect a book lock on this, say, Stéphane.
Yeah. Well, for obvious reasons, Cameron, we you know, it's tough for us to provide any lay out any value that we would expect. But as Mark said, this is a franchise that has a good catalog of products, has generated some good EBITDA in the past. So we're going to see what the process will can give us, but we're not. We're not coming up with a specific either value of or timeline, but certainly not our expectations to sell this at loss.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and this is our last follow-up question. It comes from the line of Turan Quatavala with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Stéphane, I wanted to clarify something. Maybe I misheard you, but when you talked about the margins on the civil side, the margin was down, obviously, on a quarter-on-quarter basis. I think you mentioned utilization, but the utilization was actually up Q&Q, right? Or maybe flat, I guess. But just trying to understand, is that the reason behind the lower margins, or maybe something on the SPC side?
It's actually not the utilization itself. I think you pointed out rightly, Turan, the utilization rate has gone from 71% to 72%. But what we've seen is mix of the training matters, and mix of product and service matters as well. And the main reason for from going to from Q4 to Q1 for the decrease in margin is we've had less training revenue in certain of our centers, as I said, in June, because some of our customers have been flying aircraft rather than training. This is not something new. This is something that we've seen every year for the last whatever number of years. So that's one thing. The other thing is the fact that we had some advance built in Q4 more than what we had in Q1. I'll point the last thing, Turan. And in Q4 we also had a gain on disposal of assets which we didn't have in the first quarter of this year. So all these three factors led to a 16% margin in Q1.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And I guess maybe if I was to just on a follow-on basis here, on if I look at Q1 versus Q1 last year, the utilization is up about 300 basis points from 69 to 72. Should we expect that to accelerate as we go through the year?
Well, wow. Look, it's hard to predict. I think utilization will go down inevitably in Q2 because people, as we said, are flying. They're not training. Q3, Q4, it'll pick up. There's no doubt.
No, but on a year-over-year basis, sorry, Mark, I understand the seasonality there.
It should.
Okay.
It will because last year we had a number of training centers that were opening, that were ramping up, and so in this fiscal year, these centers will have been in operation for a little while. So I would certainly expect that.
I think you have to. In the end of the day, I think you're poking at the real question, which is margin progression. And as we said, for all those factors, we see higher volume, higher utilization. We see margins, on average, being higher in the whole year than we had last year, and the higher peak margins that we saw last year, which we saw in the fourth quarter.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's due to the revenue growth that we talked about.
Fair enough. And I guess maybe if I can ask one more on the CapEx side, just looking at it from a longer-term perspective, I know you said flattish CapEx here over the next couple of years, and I understand no acquisitions. Are there any special sort of contracts on the airline side that maybe will lead you to spend more on training centers or something as you gear up maybe for the training on these contracts with the new aircraft coming in or something like that that we should be mindful of?
No, look, we don't go that far out in terms of providing CapEx guidance. The only thing I'll be more general in saying that, we expect our business overall to be less capital intensive than it has been in the previous years because, we've created the network of training centers that we have. Now, it's not because we're not going to continue to deploy CapEx. We will, but all things being equal, it'll be less capital intensive. Now, I think the one-offs you may be talking about, I think, is the potential for, which I referred on the call, outsourcings. Outsourcings, if we can get them, would be a good thing. And I don't see a sea change in people doing that, but I do see more appetite for that. So if we were able to convince airline to outsource their training centers to us, either as an outright, a sale or a joint venture, I mean, we would invest in that every day of the week. As long as it's, very highly accretive to return on capital. So that might be something that would lead us to put more capital. But I would see that more in the line of almost an acquisition. But again, in the next period of time, I think we'll just go back to the outlook that we said that CapEx should be in line with what it was last year, for the year.
Thank you. And there are no further questions on the phone line at this time.
All right, operator, I wish to thank all participants this afternoon for joining us on our first quarter fiscal 15 conference call and to remind listeners that a transcript of today's call can be found on CAE's website at cae.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.